Hello and welcome to the Life in Japan podcast by Gogo Nihon. My name is Sam and I will be your host. In this podcast, we will be talking about life in Japan as foreign residents, sharing our experiences about learning Japanese, traveling, working, visas, culture, and everything else we encounter in our day-to-day lives. Today's guest is Catherine from Canada, and she has lived in Korea for about a year and a half and then moved to Japan, where she's been for 7 years. And as you probably know, our company Gogo Nihon helps students from all over the world live and study in Japan. And we actually also do have a sister company called Gogo Hanguk, which does the same thing for Korea. So we oftentimes hear from our students that they have a hard time deciding whether to choose Korea or Japan. That's why we thought it would be interesting to hear from someone who has lived in both countries about the similarities and the differences between the two. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today. Do you want to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. So first off, thank you for having me. Very pleased to be here. So as you mentioned, my name is Catherine and I'm from Canada. I work for Gogo Nihon as a student coordinator. So I help students from various countries fulfill their ambition to come live and study in Japan.
So about 9 years ago, you decided to move to Korea.
Yeah, that's right.
How did you decide something so major?
Well, there's no easy way to say this, but basically I was sick of being in Canada. So I had finished university fairly recently, and I had always had this ambition that I wanted to live in a different country. It was important for me to be living there as opposed to visit, because I thought I want to gain a truer understanding of that culture, and there's no better way to do that than to go to be there, to live there, to have a commute like everybody else and be part of that society.
I also think that's really important when you actually go somewhere as a tourist. It's such a different experience than going somewhere as a person living there, right?
It's completely different, a completely separate set of eyes, so to speak.
Yeah. So why Korea?
At the time, I looked for positions that were available to me with my level of experience or lack thereof. And English teaching is the easiest, most accessible thing to get in a variety of different countries. Mm-hmm. And so I had been making applications to various countries, not just Korea. Mm-hmm. I applied in China, applied in Japan, and I also applied in Korea. And obviously, that's the one that worked, essentially.
Okay, I see. How long did you originally plan on staying in Korea?
My original contract with the school that I was with was for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I left after a year and a half.
Okay. Spoiler. Okay, so you were originally just going to stay for 2 years then and then go back to Canada?
I wasn't sure. I didn't want to go back to Canada. I didn't feel like I was ready. Mm-hmm. To go back just yet. I hadn't had my fill of my wanderlust, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what to do next. I just knew that I wasn't ready to go back to Canada, but would have been happy with various other alternatives.
Okay, so you were pretty flexible at that time then.
Yep.
Nice. So what was your favorite thing about living in Korea?
Part of what I enjoyed most there was that really peculiar mix of very advanced modern things and very old traditional things. Mm. So you had very modern, crazy shopping districts like Myeongdong. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you had these stalls selling street food from who knows how long.
Yeah.
They've been selling those and Koreans have been eating those. And that clash was extremely interesting to me.
That sounds really interesting. Was it basically like a mix in the same place where you just said Myeongdong? So you would basically go shopping there in one of those really modern buildings and then right in front of it would be a food stall or?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You just get food stalls, people having their little carts stationed at various places and, you know, everybody's just sort of yelling to get your attention. And it's a very stimulating experience. Could probably be a little overwhelming for some, but at the time I was just reveling in it.
Yeah, it's really fun to experience a country like, especially I think here in East Asia, that has history going back so long and so many interesting traditions. I guess, especially coming from Canada, which is a relatively new country, at least for the culture that you grew up in, I suppose. So what was your least favorite thing about living in Korea then?
So to be clear, I was living in Seoul. Mm-hmm. And so what I dislike the most about living in Seoul is maybe not something that you will find across Korea as a whole, but what got me the most was the pollution. The pollution was pretty bad, mm-hmm. especially in Seoul. And every year you have to deal with this dust, mm-hmm. Dust season. And I think that affects everybody just because it comes from China. It's right there. And the wind blows it over and it leads to more particles in the air. Some people have reactions to those. So that, along with cleanliness, like it gets pretty dirty mm-hmm. in places. And that was getting to me.
I see.
A while.
Yeah, I had heard about the dust. So you stayed in Korea for about a year and a half and then you decided to leave, correct?
That's right.
What made you leave, actually?
So after about a year, and this is something that I imagine a lot of people go through in whichever country mm-hmm. They end up in. But my contract was being renewed an extra year, and I was given the opportunity. So as I mentioned, my original contract was for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Through that, there was an opportunity for one person to end their contract early. Mm-hmm. And at that point, when that was introduced, that's when I started, you know, thinking about a lot of different things, like, did I want to stay in Korea? How long did I want to stay? Did I want to stay in this job? Did I want to look for something else? If I look for something else, what kind of thing would that be? And through all of this self-reflection, I came to the conclusion that I had done my time in Korea and I wanted to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see somewhere new. Also, the place where I was working didn't necessarily have the best conditions, mm-hmm. as can happen.
You said you worked in an English teaching company?
Not quite. I was working in a hagwon, which is a kindergarten, after school type of company. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't great for various reasons.
Yeah, I hear that in Japan all the time too, where basically they hire English teachers from abroad and then they end up in a job that they basically don't really like so much, and they only ended up doing it anyway because there's no other options because they don't speak Japanese, right?
That's right.
So, and then in the end the people end up exploiting a little bit that people don't speak the native language of the country that they're working in, and then, you know, conditions might vary.
Basically. Yeah. So, and that's also a huge thing that I had decided when I would choose my next destination. I thought for myself, not speaking Korean mm-hmm. has been a huge detriment to my experience. Mm-hmm. And so next time, I will make sure to spend time learning the language.
Right. That's so important, especially here in the Asian countries where a lot of the people just don't speak English or yep. any other languages. So it is really important to learn the local language if you want the full experience and if you want a job that is not English teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you decided Japan.
I decided Japan because I had a friend who was living here at the time that I was living in Korea. Mm-hmm. She was here temporarily and she told me, before I leave Japan, you need to visit. And I had never been to Japan, mm-hmm. and I thought, what a good opportunity. So I came to Japan to visit her, and immediately I felt the difference between the two countries, and I thought, I can live here. Mm-hmm. I can live here. And okay. So Japan became my next destination.
Nice. So how did you go about moving here?
Gogo Nihon.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. So I was a Gogo Nihon student.
So you went, you came here first with a student visa then?
That's right.
Okay. Which school?
I went to Kai.
Kai, okay, great. How long were you at Kai?
I was there for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then I was offered a full-time position at this company, mm-hmm. and then I made the switch. I had been working at Gogo Nihon from my second week in Japan.
Wow. So obviously you've been here 7 years, and originally you were in language school, you said, for a year and...
A year and a half.
And a half. So was that the original plan, to just stay for a year and a half and then leave? Or did you always want to learn Japanese and then go into a job later?
I definitely wanted to first to learn the language in order to enable me to stay longer and have more value out of my experience, mm-hmm. because as you may already know, language learning is, especially something like Japanese, mm-hmm. is very difficult, very time consuming. Mm-hmm. And if you have a part-time job at the same time where you're working, you know, I don't know, 15 to 20 hours a week, mm-hmm. that doesn't leave a lot of time for other right. things. And so it was important for me that I get that extra free time at a time where I was also more capable in the language, and so I could really make the most out of my time here.
Right, that makes sense. So, same questions for Japan. What's your favorite thing about living in Japan?
Oof, it's really hard. I like a lot of things. So, I like how reliable public transport is. Mm-hmm. To be clear, it also was pretty reliable in Korea, mm-hmm. but in Japan, there's just an ease of use that I found superior. Mm-hmm. Also, people's attitudes in general is a lot more orderly, mm-hmm. and that makes it easier to do most things. You mm-hmm. don't have to assert yourself and push people out of the way in Japan as I would have to do in Korea.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess the Japanese culture in general is a bit more passive, or a bit more like...
It's more orderly is orderly. How I would put it.
Okay.
Like, there is a way to do things and people respect those ways.
I see.
Whereas in Korea, people know there's a way to do things.
Kind of like Europe then.
So.
Right. I think Japan is relatively unique in that sense, where people really like rules and they actually really stick to them for the most part. And that's also something that I suppose Korea is a little bit more close to Europe, which I have heard from friends who have lived in Korea as well, is that it's in general more chill, they usually say, than Japan is. Okay, then same question again. What's your least favorite thing about living in Japan?
Everything's so hard. Well, that's not quite accurate. I'm being unfair, but I feel like administrative procedures are very complex mm-hmm. and are not easily accessible. Mm-hmm. And this is because of more than just the language, because, it's written in very complicated Japanese that even Japanese people have a hard time mm-hmm. getting through. It's just multiple steps that are not all obvious. Mm-hmm. So because, spoilers, I'm leaving Japan soon, I'm in the midst of wrapping everything up. And so I have a lot of these procedures to do.
Right.
In what feels like a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I'm being hit with things taking multiple steps and really needing to sit down and figure out, okay, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. What must I do? And there's a lot of those things.
Right. I assume since you're leaving the country after 7 years of paying pension here, that's probably one of your headaches right now.
This morning, I contacted a tax agency. Like, honestly, the process for getting the pension refund mm-hmm. is pretty complex. And so I had decided that I would go through maybe an accounting firm or yeah. something that has experience with it to avoid mm-hmm. delays and to ensure that everything is done as best as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. In what aspect would you say the two countries are the most similar?
In both cases, Japan and Korea, you have that clash of modern versus mm-hmm. traditional. Mm-hmm. You can see in both countries historical monuments mm-hmm. that have stood there for ages. In Seoul, you have a little bit less, because if you know anything about history, yes. you know that Seoul has had a rough time. Mm-hmm. And that being said, they did hold on to some incredible structures, or made it a priority for them to renovate those structures and reproduce those structures
right.
that they might preserve and protect mm-hmm. their history and culture. And that's something that I find fascinating in both countries.
Right.
You get to experience that in both, and it's really wonderful to just take a stroll in some unknown part of town and stumble upon a shrine or a temple or something that's been there for ages, and it's just part of the scenery in mm-hmm. a very organic way mm-hmm. that feels like you can't achieve this other than by having something stand there for ages and things growing around it, mm-hmm. so to speak.
How would you say the two countries are completely different?
So the main difference, in my opinion, from when I lived there, so, you know, that's a disclaimer worth having that I haven't lived in Korea for 7 years, mm-hmm. so I'm sure things have changed mm-hmm. in between then. However, the biggest difference I see is mainly in people's attitude. I feel like in Korea, people tend to be more genuine. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Japan, there is this culture of, you know, the you that you show yeah. to people and the and the real you. So that's one thing. And the other thing would be the, as we talked about earlier, the attachment to the rules that we see in Japan. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Korea, things have, like, they should really happen a certain way, but, you know, you can, if it's less troublesome to do it a different way, and mm-hmm. it's not really in the books,
yeah.
you might get away with it.
Right.
So it's easier to make something work.
Right. I guess the preference of either of those countries then in that aspect really depends on how people like to live their lives and how much structure people enjoy in their lives.
Yeah, to give you an example, last week I wanted to get some police certificates done because my fiancé is American and so we're going to apply for a visa in the future. And so a police certificate is required to apply for a spouse visa in the US. And I figured while I'm in Japan, close to Korea, close to Japan, mm-hmm. I will get those things done right now.
Yeah.
So I went to the police department in Tokyo and they have a list of documents you need. One of those documents is proof that the police certificate is needed. You cannot get a police check done if there is no obligation for this to be done. So I brought the checklist, like the document checklist mm-hmm. for the marriage visa. And it says that a police certificate is required. And so I thought, probably that will be enough. And I provided that, and I was told, this is not good enough, because it doesn't say your name, it doesn't say that you really do need this, and you don't have, so I'm not married yet, so you don't have a case number to show that you really are applying for this visa, therefore we cannot do the police check, you need to wait after.
Yeah.
The same day, I went to the Korean embassy to also get the same document done, and they didn't have that requirement. Mm-hmm. However, I showed up and I realized that it was appointment only, mm-hmm. which you could only know by showing up and seeing the little paper that says that from July, it's appointment only.
Oh.
So I showed up, I still went in, I still tried, you know. I said, maybe there's a way. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke to the guard at the front and he was like, you don't have an appointment. Get out, get out. Mm-hmm. But I insisted a little bit and then he called someone else, someone more senior, who then told me, well, it's appointment only, but come back at 2 because it's open questions then.
Yes.
And so I went back at 2, managed to get in, was told again, you know, this document you want, you can't really get it here. Insisted a little bit more. I was like, actually, yeah, maybe. And got the paper. I got everything done. And now it's in the mail and I'm waiting for it. So I had to work for it, but I managed.
Wow, okay.
And I think that encapsulates the difference between the two countries very well.
Yes, I think that's a great example. And of course, there's people who prefer one way and there's people who prefer another way. Okay, let's play a little game of would you rather. Would you rather wear a hanbok or would you rather wear a yukata or a kimono?
Oh, that's, the answer will differ because yukata can be very comfortable if it's high quality. Hanbok is better, in my opinion. I prefer the look of the hanbok. Mm-hmm. I think it's just,
it's kind of princessy. Eh?
It's very, I'm not one to be very into the princess stuff, but I don't know, there's just something about it. I really like the higher crop tops.
Yeah. I know what you
part
mean.
Part of it, and the long wide sleeves, mm-hmm. and the color, you know.
I've never worn them, but they actually look a lot more comfortable than the wraps that they do for kimono and yukata.
I have worn one for hanbok day. at the Hagwon I worked for, and I can tell that it's surprisingly comfortable.
Nice.
And I felt like, so compared to a yukata, where like you're really squeezed in there,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I had a better range of movement.
Right, that makes sense. That's exactly what it looks like too.
Yep.
Okay, would you rather listen to K-pop or J-pop?
K-pop.
Ooh, you're a fan?
Oh, yeah. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh, I have my bands and I really like those, but I get a different, whereas J-pop tends to be very about, ah, we're happy, we're having a good life, fun. You can get, the kind of K-pop I listen to is like the heavy beat, heavy bass,
yeah,
like
see, yeah.
Really get into it and just like type away.
Right.
Easy to just get lost in and focus and it feel like, you know, it's really intense right now. So
I know what you mean.
I get more of that with K-pop than with J-pop.
Would you rather eat Korean snacks or Japanese snacks?
Japanese snacks. Although, of course, you know, Korea has its own snacks that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I feel like Japanese snacks are more exciting because I think, in my opinion, one of the quintessential live in Japan experiences is going to a konbini, finding a new snack that you absolutely fall in love with.
And then they take it away from you.
They take it away forever. They take it from you. Never to be seen again. Just, you have the memory.
So true. Seasonal snacks are so good. And then you just have to live without them for 4 seasons.
Absolutely. Whenever I find something I love nowadays, I look for the gente tag anywhere.
Limited, yeah.
Just to see if it's a seasonal snack or not.
As a foreigner, would you say it's easier to live in Korea or in Japan if you have like no or too minimal knowledge of the language? So basically when you just arrived in Japan versus when you just arrived in Korea.
I would say it's easier in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So granted, the circumstances in which I came to Japan versus Korea were quite different.
True.
Where going to Korea, I was hired, part of a company.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took it upon themselves to sort of get me set up
mm-hmm.
the right way. Whereas Japan was kind of on my own.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I had Gogo Nihon to help me. But still,
yeah.
There is only so much that it's kind of weird to say, can do. So I went through the steps of, you know, opening a bank account and getting my own apartment. And I would say overall, there are more resources that are foreigner friendly in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And because things tend to work very efficiently and Japanese people tend to be very helpful in my experience,
mm-hmm.
you can still get things done.
Yeah,
even if you're struggling, whereas in Korea, if you don't know what you want, if you don't know what you're doing, people can be a little bit less helpful or try to go that extra mile for you. Whereas I find that Japan, you get a lot of that.
That makes sense. I was under the impression that more Koreans are able to speak English than Japanese, but maybe I'm wrong.
If you had asked me back when I went to Korea, I would have said, no, that's not quite true in my experience. I think there are as few people in Korea as in Japan that speak English.
Mm-hmm.
However, in between my arrival, so my departure from Korea and, you know, my soon departure from Japan, I did visit Korea a few years ago and I found that there were a lot more people speaking English.
Mm.
But I also know that the Korean government has put a lot more resources into getting people to speak English.
I see.
So maybe I saw the fruits of that.
Yes.
When I went a few years ago. And people were also like very nice, very friendly. And I was like, oh, that's a change. Maybe I don't know what changed. But
I guess through K-pop, Korea saw a lot more tourism in the last couple of years as it boomed in the West. So I think probably that has an influence, I would say, on how people view tourism and how the tourists behave in Korea as well.
Honestly, I think you're probably right. Back when I went, Korea was still kind of like K-pop was starting
mm-hmm.
its explosion
mm-hmm.
in the West. Like my friend was really into it, but she was sort of an outlier,
mm-hmm.
whereas now it's a lot more accepted. And so back when I went to Korea, I found that the people who were there with me one of the things they had in common was an interest in doing something different, in going the off-beaten path, you know, and it was the cool destination that's still very modern, that has a lot to offer, but not everybody goes there. So I don't know, maybe that's changed nowadays. Maybe Korea and Japan are both very popular destination for different destinations for different reasons.
That makes sense. Do you have any words of advice for people who are having difficulties deciding which of the two countries to go to?
My advice would be to figure out what kind of person they are and what environment they might do better in. So over the course of this episode, we've talked about some ways in which Korea and Japan differ from each other, ways in which they're similar. And so I think that would be a really good guide to help people figure out which side they mesh with more. So if you're someone who really likes things to work a certain way and you want a lot of structure, then perhaps Japan is a better fit. But if you are more free-spirited and you really value people being genuine and, you know, maybe a little bit more boisterous, a little bit more loud, but also like just more fire within them, then perhaps Korea might be a better fit.
That was a perfect summary, actually. I think that is probably the best advice anybody has ever given to somebody who was having difficulties deciding between the two. And I understand from a Western point of view, they are really similar in the sense that they're both Asian countries and very different from their own cultures and stuff like that. And of course, if you compare the general feeling of what you see on photos, it's really, really hard to make that judgment. But I think you made a very good point on how they differ culturally and how you should probably have expectations matching the culture you go into. So thank you very much, Catherine, for telling us about your experiences. And thanks also to our listeners for joining today. If you have any questions or feedback regarding what we talked about, please send us an email at podcast@gogonihon.com. Or if you're interested in learning Japanese in Japan, visit our website, gogonihon.com. If you're actually interested in learning Korean in Korea, visit gogohanguk.com. We hope you tune in again for our next episode.